The king of online reviews goes public, but what's the review on Yelp?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In the last year, Groupon, LinkedIn, Zynga, and Pandora have gone public. Facebook will, of course, follow suit in a matter of months. And this week, it is Yelp's turn. The website that offers user reviews of everything from restaurants to rug cleaners is trying to raise $100 million by selling stock to the public. Here's our senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
Just how many stars between 1 and 5 does this company deserve?
I'd put them right smack dab in the middle. I'd say 3 stars, a business that has a lot of upside potential but a lot of uncertainty going forward.
Andrew Tonner is a tech analyst for the Motley Fool Investor website. He gives Yelp a rave review for its loyal following and rising ad sales.
They're growing revenues at around 60%, and they're growing their user bases at equally impressive clips. You know, they have around 61 million active users, 22 million reviews on the site.
Problem is, selling advertising mostly among small local boutiques, salons, and restaurants isn't easy. Marketing expenses have grown, and Yelp's losses actually jumped to $17 million last year. The website is also cautioning would-be investors that it gets more than half its traffic by way of Google, which has lately been favoring its own competing sites over links to Yelp.
They're really quite dependent on Google, and that's a huge threat for the company.
If he were reading a lukewarm review like this on Yelp, Tonner says, it's not exactly the kind of recommendation that would draw him in. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Well, wherever you are right now, be happy you're not on the Costa Allegra. That's a cruise ship with more than 1,000 passengers on it that's being towed through the Indian Ocean to dry land. There was a fire on board the ship yesterday, which knocked out power. And, oh, by the way, the Costa Allegra is owned by the same company that owned the Costa Concordia, which sank off the coast of Italy last month. Julian Bray is a cruise ship industry analyst, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So, of course, nobody thought it was possible for a cruise ship to sink in 2012. That happened. Now we've had a fire on another cruise ship. How common is this?
Well, it is actually quite common, but normally they manage to actually put out fires and things, which they have in this case. But unfortunately, the generator sets, which supplies the power for the entire cruise ship, has been affected. They don't have any power. So that's affected all the services, but they do have backup batteries, which is keeping the emergency lighting going.
Well, after this incident and the Costa Concordia, what happens to a company like Carnival, which owns the company that owns this ship, or to the cruise ship industry in general? Do people decide they don't want to take cruises anymore?
Well, you've actually hit the very nail on the head, because I'd be very surprised if Costa Cruises is still a trading entity by the end of this year. Carnival now have to have a very serious look at their portfolio. And a lot of people are quite nervous about going on cruises, which is a shame because a lot of the cruise companies are brilliant. But the good thing is that the rescue operation is well underway. The ship is being towed into an island in the Seychelles, where they will go on little beechcraft aircraft to the main island and then be repatriated home by normal airlines.
Meantime, they're having cold breakfast, I hear.
Oh, yes, and I'm afraid the bathroom arrangements aren't that brilliant either.
Julian Bray, cruise ship industry analyst, joining us from the UK. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, up 0.9% in Tokyo and up about 0.3% in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost just 1 point to close at 12,981.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
The American dream is shaking right now.
Top 1%.
I think we're very blessed to have what we have.
The 99%.
I've never been one to look for a handout.
This week, we are launching our new Wealth and Poverty Desk, and we'll start with the numbers. The poverty line is a little more than $22,000 a year for a family of four. More than 15% of Americans fall below that line. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look now behind those numbers.
Here's one of the sounds of poverty in America. A family shopping trip.
You like any of my shirts?
To the relief mission at the local church.
No? Just look at them and see if you like them first.
Tamara Johnson's 41, from Rialto, California. She lives with the 6-year-old daughter she's trying to interest in one of those free T-shirts, or maybe a warm coat. Johnson's also getting a box of donated food, rice, beans, canned vegetables.
It's a struggle, just a little bit.
And are you working right now?
Yes, I am a program manager at a Pomona Alcohol and Drug Recovery Center.
So you're a supervisor.
I'm making, you know, really good money, but still it's not enough in today's economy.
And that good money? Johnson told me she makes around $3,000 a month, which would put her a little above 2 times the official poverty rate. Even so, with rent, utilities, and transportation, she said she still couldn't make it from paycheck to paycheck. Economist Randy Albelda at UMass Boston offers another definition of poverty, one that better suits people like Johnson.
You're poor when you can't buy what you need, when you cannot afford to pay for your rent, you can't afford to buy food, you can't afford clothing.
Many Americans cycle through poverty at some point without staying there, when they're in school or out of work for a spell. The bigger problem, says Albelda, is those who are stuck long-term with an income at the poverty line.
A single mom who also has a lot of relatives who are also low-wage or low-income, especially if she works and she's got young children, $24,000 may not even come close to the sets of costs she would face, even being as frugal as she possibly could be.
Albelda says that working mother courts disaster every time she goes to work.
A car breaking down can have enormous consequences, like losing your job.
This is what life is like for more and more Americans after the recession. They're just one unlucky step from taking an economic fall. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And tomorrow, our Wealth and Poverty launch continues with a look at the middle class. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.